Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek, who was re-elected head of the Civic Democratic Party over the weekend, has indicated there may be changes in the centre-right coalition government. The US might temporarily postpone its missile defence project in Central Europe due to the global financial crisis. And the ruling Civic Democratic Party may try to block a debate on the Lisbon Treaty at Tuesday's extraordinary session of the lower house. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek, who was re-elected head of the Civic Democratic Party over the weekend, has indicated there may be changes in the centre-right coalition government. Mr. Topolánek told reporters shortly after his election victory that he was planning to meet with the leaders of the two other parties in government, the Christian Democrats and the Greens, to discuss the government's future setup. He would not elaborate on his plans ahead of the meeting. The re-elected Civic Democrat leader said his current priorities were to consolidate his party, to deal with the impact of the global financial crisis on the Czech economy, and to focus on the Czech EU presidency starting on the 1st of January. The US might temporarily postpone its missile defense project in Central Europe due to the global financial crisis, Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg told journalists in Brussels on Sunday. Mr. Schwarzenberg, who is in Brussels for Monday's meeting on EU foreign ministers, said the Czech Republic had no problem with this. "We have fulfilled our duty as allies," the Czech Foreign Minister said. In an interview for the Austrian press agency APA, Mr. Schwarzenberg sharply rebuked Russia for meddling in the affairs of countries that used to be part of the Warsaw Pact, saying this was something Prague was not prepared to accept. The ruling Civic Democratic Party may try to block a debate on the Lisbon Treaty at Tuesday's extraordinary session of the lower house, the news site Euros.cz reported on Monday. Citing Civic Democrat deputy Marek Benda, the news site said the plan was to vote against the program lineup of Tuesday's extraordinary session of the lower house. With support from communist deputies who opposed the ratification of the Lisbon Treaty as one man, this strategy may work, the news site says. Although Civic Democrat leader Mirek Topolánek has called on the party to support the Lisbon Treaty, he also warned against pushing too hard to get it approved by the end of the year, saying such a move could backfire. The Eurosceptic faction within the party is doing its best to delay a vote on the issue. The weekend party conference decided to leave the vote on the Lisbon Treaty in the hands of its deputies and senators, failing to pass a recommendation on the matter. The opposition Social Democrats have warned the ruling party against blocking Tuesday's debate on the Lisbon Treaty, saying that unless the treaty was ratified before the end of the year, they would withdraw from a non-aggression pact with the governing coalition, which was to last through the 6 months of the country's EU presidency. It was the Social Democrats who asked for an extraordinary session of the lower house on Tuesday in an effort to speed up the treaty's ratification. And a quick look at the weather. The next few days should be partly cloudy to overcast with rain in places and day temperatures between 1 and 5 degrees Celsius. My name is Ruth Franikova and that's the end of the news.
Welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Dominik Jun. Coming up today, an on-the-spot account of this weekend's Civic Democrats Party Congress. Political commentator Jiří Behej assesses what the Prime Minister's victory over challenger Pavel Bem means for the future of the party. And later in the programme, Jan Richter talks to the Czech-born mathematician Joe Cohn, whose family fled the country in 1939. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek was re-elected chairman of the ruling Civic Democrats at a crucial party conference over the weekend, defeating a Eurosceptic faction within the party that pushed for a change of direction. He beat challenger Pavel Bém, whose influential supporter, the Czech president Václav Klaus, quit as the party's honorary chairman. Jan Richter was at the Congress and has this report.
Blue again, the right way. The motto chosen for the Civic Democrats conference suggested that the senior ruling party must recover from its painful defeat in the recent regional and Senate elections and regain public trust. Some inside the party believed that it was time for change and supported the challenger, Prague Mayor Pavel Bém. Others opted for continuity ahead of the country's upcoming EU presidency and backed the current leader, Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek. The moment of truth came on Sunday morning after all of the 500 or so party delegates cast their votes.
Pavla Béma byly odevzdány 162 hlasy, Mirka Topolánka 284.
Mirek Topolánek received 284 ballots, beating his opponent Pavel Bém by 122 votes. Member of the European Parliament for the Civic Democrats Jan Zahradil says that this time the need for stability outweighs the need for change.
I think that party membership preferred stability to a change. On the other hand, I think that his challenger, Mr. Bém, has received very substantial number of votes, so it doesn't mean that Mr. Bém is out of politics. I think that his future in the ODS is, of course, still opened. However, the clear victory of Mr. Topolánek means that he was credited a mandate to pursue that reform course once projected by this particular government. Of course, he will be the one who will run the government in the times of Czech EU presidency, which I consider to be a good news.
For the Prime Minister, the Congress was a major victory. He managed to dissuade the conference from issuing a resolution that would bind Civic Democrat lawmakers to vote against the adoption of the Lisbon Treaty. And sweetening his victory further, delegates elected what was described as a dream team to the party leadership, with Mr. Topolánek's supporters as deputy chairman. The only close race was for the post of first deputy. After two inconclusive rounds, Interior Minister Ivan Langer withdrew his candidacy, clearing the way for the only new face in the party's management, David Vodrážka. I asked Mr. Langer if his withdrawal, after which he was elected as one of the party's four regular deputies, was meant to bridge the troubled waters between the two party factions.
I hope so. That's why I did what I did. And I think and I believe that we have to present our ability to find a compromise inside of ODS to be stronger than before. And I hope that we'll reach that goal.
In a move that seemed to predetermine Mr. Topolánek's hands-down victory, President Klaus, the party's founder and honorary chairman, unexpectedly severed ties with the Civic Democrats on Saturday, announcing that he was giving up the post of honorary chairman due to ideological differences. Known for his Eurosceptic views, Mr. Klaus would have liked to see a change of direction under Pavel Bém. When he told the assembly that he was giving up his honorary chairmanship, many couldn't believe that the founding father was leaving.
Rozhodl jsem se poděkovat vám za titul čestného předsedy a tohoto titulu se dnes na tomto místě definitivně vzdát. Bylo to...
Mr. Topolánek's way seems to be clear, but despite his victory, political analysts say his problems are far from over. His critics from the Eurosceptic faction within the party will continue to make his life difficult, and some could even decide to leave the party's deputies group in parliament, further weakening the governing coalition, which now has a mere 96 votes in the 200-member lower house. Member of the European Parliament Jan Zahradil says that on many issues the government could find its hands tied.
Another question is what will happen in the chamber, where, as everybody knows, the government is gradually losing the majority, and probably it would be very hard, if not impossible, to pass any further bold reforms via the parliament. But we will see in next days.
Jan Zahradil talking there to Jan Richter. Now, as you just heard, this weekend saw the Czech Prime Minister breathing a notable sigh of relief as he managed to stave off a challenge to his leadership at the Civic Democrat Party conference held in Prague's Vysočany district. But the troubles do not end there for the embattled Prime Minister. A fractured party, a disgruntled electorate, and a deep ideological split. Those are just some of the issues that Mirek Topolánek must face in the months ahead. I spoke with political commentator Jiří Pehe to gauge his reaction to the weekend's events, and began by asking him if the results of the conference could be viewed as a resounding victory for Mirek Topolánek.
Well, I think it's a victory for Topolánek, but I wouldn't call it a resounding victory, simply because the Congress has not managed to solve any of the big problems of the Civic Democratic Party. It is still a party that is internally split. The wing of Topolánek's opponents is very strong and will continue to cause trouble for Topolánek. And although the most frequently used word at the Congress was change, nothing has really changed.
And the only challenger, Pavel Bem, got only 162 votes to Mr. Topolánek's 284. Was that a surprisingly small amount of support for him?
Well, I think that Mr. Bem didn't really do a good job before the Congress, and at the Congress his vision for the Civic Democratic Party wasn't clear. And I think that also many people in the Civic Democratic Party simply didn't want to rock the boat at this point before the Czech presidency of the European Union. But at the same time, although Bem himself didn't really do well, his wing in the party and people who represent, let's say, the pro Klaus forces really didn't appear to be significantly weakened, and that means that Topolánek will continue facing problems.
And speaking of the Czech president, he announced his departure as honorary head of the party at this conference. What exactly does that mean for the party? That there'll be some people, I'm sure, that will be glad to see the back of him. Others will lament that he's gone.
Well, I think that Klaus's resignation from the post of the honorary chairman of the party is, on the one hand, a significant gesture, but it is not a blow to the party, because Klaus, in fact, had severed his ties with the Civic Democratic Party even before the Congress, and he had certainly been in opposition to Topolánek, so it was not new. But what is new is that now, really, President Klaus has freed his hands to declare an open war on the government of Mirek Topolánek. So we should expect in the next few months a really open conflict between the government and the president, and the president will do his best to make life difficult for Mr. Topolánek and his government.
And what, in your view, must Mr. Topolánek now do to strengthen his position? Some people have been saying something like getting rid of the controversial health minister Tomáš Julínek.
Well, Mr. Topolánek can certainly make cosmetic changes in the government, but I'm afraid that at this point he cannot do much, because no matter how many people in the government will be replaced, in the end this government will not be able to do anything significant anymore. It is basically a minority government at this point. It will not be able to push through the parliament any significant reforms. I'm afraid that Mr. Topolánek and his government are in the long run doomed, and the Social Democratic Party is bound to win the next election in a resounding way.
Jiří Pehe talking to me earlier today. Now on to more apolitical matters. It's time for a roundup of the week's sports action with Ian Willoughby.
We begin today with the Floorball World Championships, which are taking place here in the Czech Republic. The hosts made light work of Russia in their opening game on Saturday, winning by a whopping 8-1. But Sunday's opponents, Sweden, were rather a different proposition. After all, the Swedes invented floorball and have won the previous 6 World Championships without losing a single game. The Czech Republic opened brightly, taking a 2-0 lead, and the home crowd in Ostrava were no doubt dreaming of witnessing a famous victory. In the end, though, it wasn't to be, with the Swedes eventually winning 5-4. The Czech Republic's Aleš Zálesný shared his thoughts after the game.
We played great at the back, and we scored a few goals. It's a pity about the beginning of the final period, when we conceded 2 quick goals in a minute and a half. Otherwise, I think we had it in us to win, or at least to draw. There's a great crowd here in Ostrava, and I think the spectators deserve to see us win.
The Czech Republic's next game at the Floorball World Championships is against Latvia on Tuesday evening. Tennis, and Tomáš Berdych has won the Golden Canary Award for Czech Player of the Year for the fourth time in a row. This year, the 23-year-old fell from 9th to 20th in the world rankings, so the fact he took the prize does perhaps reflect the fact it wasn't a great year for Czech tennis. Berdych is philosophical about his season.
I am glad of the award. Of course, I'd prefer if my results on the court had been a bit better, but it's a long season and things go up and down. I was out for a relatively long time with injuries. This award is for the whole season, and really there is only room for improvement.
By the way, Tomáš Berdych says he's hoping to beat the Golden Canary record held by Jiří Novák. Novák took the award 6 times. Finally, the Prague Rally Sprint motor race ended in tragedy on Saturday, when 2 spectators were killed after a car driven by Poland's Leszek Kuzaj skidded and crashed. Witnesses said a group of Polish rally fans hadn't reacted to calls from race officials to move away from an area designated as dangerous. The race was called off when the accident occurred, and organisers say they may not hold it again. That's all the sport for today.
Ian Willoughby there with the sports roundup. Now it's time for this week's one-on-one, in which Jan Richter talks to a noted mathematician whose family was forced to flee the Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia back in 1939.
...2008 has been a year of anniversaries of milestone events which changed the course of Czech history, 1968, 1948 and 1938. In those years, many Czechs left their country due to the deteriorating political situation, the imminent war, a communist takeover and a Soviet-led invasion. Our guest in this edition of One on One is Josef Korn, a native of Prague who left Czechoslovakia in 1938 and who is now a professor of mathematics at Princeton University in the United States. I asked Mr. Korn if he had any memories of the First Republic.
Yes, I do. I left when I was 7 years old, and I remember things quite clearly, nevertheless, because... When I returned for the first time to visit in 62, I could find my way home from to our house from Petrin. And in general, I remember things and impressions that I had then. I remember clearly when the hostilities started before the Munich Pact, how there were blackouts, and from our house we could see people, the German sympathizers lighting flares in defiance of the blackouts, and I remember the nervousness of everybody, and I remember vacations in Krkonoše and many other little things.
What did your parents do?
My father was a well-known architect here. He designed some of the buildings on Letná, the series of apartment houses, and many others, especially... He especially did reconstructions of many of the older buildings here, and also some villas, both in Prague and outside of Prague, especially near Česká Lípa and so on.
Your family left Czechoslovakia in 1938. Was it difficult to get out?
Well, I was fortunate to have an uncle who actually we left in 1939 when it was already hard to leave, but I had an uncle who was very aware of the dangers of staying, and he had managed to get a visas for the whole family, all my father's side, which consisted of 21 people, and we got it to Ecuador. The ambassador of Ecuador was very sympathetic to the question of Jews immigrating, and we were able to go that way.
I imagine it must have been a big change from Prague.
It was a tremendous change. One thing that I have to say that the positive part was that the people in Ecuador were very friendly, and the Jewish immigrants filled a very needed gap because there was hardly any middle class. The country was developing in many ways. People were the peasants, illiterate peasants, mostly Indian or completely Indian, and the absentee landlords, so that the middle class was really needed there, and we filled that gap, and most of the immigrants had great opportunities there. And so from that point of view, it was easy. But on the other hand, there was, of course, a big cultural difference, and from that point of view, it wasn't so easy.
When did you arrive in the United States?
We came to the United States immediately after the war. So we stayed in Ecuador from 39 to 45.
You are a well-known mathematician, a professor of mathematics at Princeton. What made you choose this particular career?
Well, I always enjoyed, I enjoyed many things, but I found mathematics fascinating and easy, and I was always interested in mathematics and physics and sort of philosophical questions around the two subjects. And I went to high school in New York, and then I went to MIT, and in the first year at MIT, I had to decide which direction I would go to. And I was sort of deciding between mathematics and physics, but the first year physics labs were very routine and boring and so on, so I decided to skip that and go into mathematics.
Was it difficult to stay in the field after you graduated?
Actually, it was not difficult at all, because I had the good luck of, I got my PhD in 1956. And in 1957, there was a complete revival of science in the United States because of the advent of the Sputnik. So the United States, there was a feeling that science was behind, so all sorts of resources were put in, and a number of jobs were expanded. They expanded the fellowships, and therefore the university positions were expanded.
When you first returned to Czechoslovakia in 1962, how did it feel?
Well, it felt very strange. I'll tell you what happened was that at that time I was at Brandeis University, but I spent many summers in Stanford. And at Stanford there was a very well-known, very famous Czech mathematician who should be more well-known than he is. He really has fundamental contributions. His name was Karel Levnár. And he encouraged me very much to visit Prague, because I always spoke Czech at home, and I knew how to speak Czech well, and I was interested in Czech thing matters. So he encouraged me very much, and he wrote a letter introducing me to the mathematics faculty, and the Czechoslovak Academy of Sciences extended an invitation for me to come. So I came in the summer of 62, and then I returned very frequently since then.
Is there anything that surprised you when you came here after the fall of communism?
Things were loosening up a little bit before the fall of communism. It wasn't so. The last years, I had remembered in the early days, people were really afraid to talk and so on. But in the last years, people somehow lost some of that fear of the government, I think, especially in speech, because so many people were insulting the government and making fun of their leaders and so on and so forth. On the other hand, I did have one amusing experience where people were still afraid, where one of the mathematicians had been a visitor in Cuba, and he invited me for a drink to his apartment, and he asked me to please speak Spanish with him when we come to the courtyard, because he didn't want the people around there to hear him speaking English. I didn't want him to think that he's entertaining Americans.
You were in touch with Czechoslovak science throughout much of the communist era. How good was science here?
I think it was very spotty, because certain things were extremely good, like certain kinds of chemistry. And they invented here the optical, what is it called, the lens, that you put in. And other things of that sort. So certain parts were very good, and the people that worked in science here were uniformly very talented and very good, by and large. And the only trouble is that in things like mathematics and physics and many other things, they had such limited contact with the outside world. It was even difficult to have contact with the Soviet Union. Also, one terrible thing was that the price of scientific journals and books in the West went up so steeply that by the time the 70s came, they just couldn't afford them. Still, the education in science up to the first undergraduate years was really excellent, I think. Of course, it was interrupted by the fact that many students were denied access to this education because of their political background and various things of that sort, and also a lot of time was wasted with all kinds of courses about Marxism.
Jan Richter there talking to Joe Cohn. And that edition of One on One takes us to the end of today's programme here on Radio Prague. But before we leave, a quick reminder that everything you've heard in this show can also be found online at our website www.radio.cz. The website also includes an extensive archive of reports and features in both text and audio form. And you can also sign up for a free news email and use our exclusive podcasting service. We also welcome any comments or questions you may have, so please feel free to drop us a line at any time. The postal address is Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. The address to email us is english@radio.cz. But that's all for now. From myself, Dominic Yoon, and all of my colleagues here at Radio Prague, goodbye.